Welcome to 2018 Best Year Ever Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Rosemarie Barnes. Rosemarie, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. And you really are a frustrated radio host, are you not? Ladies and gentlemen, I am Rosemarie Barnes. I am from Canada, forgive me, and away we go. You know, entrepreneurs, business people, spend considerable time, effort, and money to create a company brand. The logo and the images, the verbiage, the flow of our websites speaks to our clients when we are not there in person. What is often forgotten, though, is that the way we speak is also a vital aspect to our branding, and our words have the power to either authenticate or completely eviscerate our carefully nurtured and maintained image. Excellent leaders understand that in today's world of business, every advantage is a good advantage. Excellent leaders learn how to use their voice, their language, and even their posture to accurately represent their company. We all are aware of the Nike swoosh, the ubiquitous Nike swoosh. It costs Nike co-founder Phil Knight $35 and was used because, quote, "We're out of time, it'll have to do," end quote, and an admission that he didn't like it, but maybe it'll grow on me. Most of us spend a lot more time than did Mr. Knight on creating the perfect branding to adequately represent our values and the values of our company. Hopefully, they're the same set of values. In theory, when the founder of a company speaks on its behalf, he or she can't help but represent the company's values authentically. After all, he or she made them up. Unfortunately, that doesn't automatically mean that they are reaching the listening ears well enough to persuade or inspire or build trust or motivate or any of those other goals that we have from speaking. Similarly, reaching the ears of our brain trust, our partners, our mentors, is just as important. And so often we remain unaware that if our words, our face, and body messages do not align, most of what our valued colleagues received is garbled and confusing. Because they are confused, that means that they are not pleased to be confused. Nobody likes to feel like they are not in control and can't understand and can't make sense of it. And because they can't understand our message, they don't like it. And if they don't like that, they don't like us. And if they don't like us, why would they be bothered to want to get to know us, like us, or trust us? Here's the other thing that's important to realize. We've been talking just about the executives and the executive team. But they're not the only people that represent our companies when our brand isn't around. Our entire staff, everyone that speaks about our companies, is representing us and our endless hours of devotion. Do all the people that work with you share in your company values? And even if they do, can they speak in a way that represents those values? When they are selling, do they represent the brand of the company? When they offer service, are they representing the brand of the company? When they handle complaints or settle misunderstandings, are they adequately representing what the company stands for? Are they engaging or are they repelling the people they are speaking with? Everyone in the company needs a role model so that they can fashion their own speeches after someone. When you speak as the head of your company, are you modeling the level of eloquence, charisma, clarity that you want to have your clients hear consistently? Do you know how to do that? Sadly, most people do not. You see, just because you can talk doesn't mean you can speak. Speaking as a representative of your company bears little resemblance to the way you converse with a buddy at the barbecue or when you're telling your family horror stories from the office. Now, I don't know why. Well, yes, I do know why. Some of the most interesting and animated people turn into a miracle cure for insomnia as soon as they have to speak to an audience. Hopefully, in the next few minutes, you'll pick up a few tidbits that will help you avoid becoming one of those. Let's talk about content for a minute. The human brain can only absorb so much information at one time. Once our brains are full, we tend to quit listening or check our email, and the problem with most people when they're speaking is that they open the fire hose and douse us with as much information as they can probably share. They're trying to add value. What they're adding is a lot of seawater. Remember the number three. Human beings are married to three, and the number of the counting shall be three. Three little bears, three little pigs, three, three, three. When you are giving any sort of presentation, whether it's in networking, whether it's across the desk, whether it's in a boardroom, whether it's in a theater, whether it's an arena, three things. So take a look at the palm of your hand. Hold your hand up in front of you, palm facing you, fingers splayed. Your thumb is your introduction. Your baby finger is your closing. Your index finger, middle finger, and ring finger are topics 1, 2, and 3. And that's all the fingers you've got, so you can't say any more than that. The reason being is that as human beings, we can easily remember three things. The best thing to remember is always the last thing that we hear. The last topic, that ring finger topic, is the one we will remember most easily. We remember the first topic because it's the first topic. The middle topic, if there's a weaker one, slides in there. More than that, and we forget it all, and we come confused. And a confused mind doesn't do anything, including a follow-up phone call. We can't turn the fire hose on people. Every single topic has to be composed of exactly the same structure as the overall topic, as in we have an introduction, three little topics, and a closing. Now, you get to topic one, and you guess what you have to do? You have to start with an introduction, you have to talk about it, you have to give an illustration. Next, etc., etc. A word on presentation itself. It is only 7 tiny percent of the message that we send is sent via words, just 7%. And yet, we spend the majority of our time figuring out what we're going to say. And we spend almost no time on how we're going to say it. And yet, 93% of the message that people receive does not come from your words. I think it bears a little thought. Now, of the remaining 93%, we have the face sending messages, we have the body sending messages, And we have the voice. I'm not talking about the words. I'm talking about how you use your vocal mechanism. That makes up 97% of it. And a very big chunk of that is your face. Smile. But smile sincerely. The phony smile, nobody's going to buy it. And as soon as you're perceived as phony because you're smiling when you don't really mean it, that means your words are phony too. And no one's going to listen to you any farther. The alignment of the body and the face and the words are supremely important, because if there's a conflict between what the words are saying and what the body is saying, it's not the words that are believed as the truth. I'll give you an example. Slouch. Sit in your chair and slouch. If you're standing, slouch. Think Saturday morning after a very enjoyable Friday evening. How's that? Slouched. I would like you to please vigorously shake your head no, no, no. And while you're doing that, very firmly announce yes, yes, yes. Go ahead and give that a try. Shake your head hard, no, 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 but your mouth has to say yes, yes, yes. Was it hard? Now flip it. Now flip it. Keep the body all slouched and loose and nod your head, yes, 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 but have your mouth very firmly proclaim to the high heavens, no. Was one of those easier than the other? Now, if you send messages like that, the thing that will be believed is what the body says, not the words. Be careful about the body. All right, so let's talk about it. You are standing there. You are going to be seen. Trying to hide by crossing your arms or slouching your shoulders is, of course, a waste of time. We can see you. You are sending us a message just by standing there. If you're leaning on one leg, it's read as that you really don't want to be there, and you've got one foot with no weight on it ready to scoot you out of there just as fast as your little legs can carry you. If you're pacing, how many times have you heard speakers that they're talking, but you don't know what they're talking about because you're watching them pace across the front of the area like a caged tiger under the delusion that they are connecting with all sides of the audience, which of course is not the case at all. When you go to one side of the presentation space, you're ignoring the other half and vice versa. Pacing back and forth is only an indication of nervousness, and you're not fooling anyone. You do have to fill the space, but you do it with presence, and you do it with the right amount of energy, and you turn your head to look at all the places, but if you don't have anywhere to go, stay still. There are some good reasons to move, of course, but idle pacing does nothing but dilute your message and make people wonder why you're so nervous to be there. Rocking back and forth or side to side. Have you ever been in a bank lineup or a grocery lineup, and the person in front of you has a baby and they're rocking the baby? They're going from hip to hip. I call it the mommy wiggle. And if you watch them carefully, you'll see that the only thing being rocked is themselves. The baby is perfectly still. But we see them doing that, and pretty soon we start rocking some invisible baby as well. These are clear indications that you want soothing. And that includes front-to-back rocking from one foot to the other. It is read as that you really need to be comforted. Who is going to believe your strong company brand if you are representing your company by rocking yourself into a nice, gentle nap? Touching anywhere on the stage is another sign of insecurity. Steepling your fingers, wrapping your fingers around each other, playing with the palms of your hands and rubbing them, crossing your arms, putting a hand on a hip. These are all signs that you are steadying yourself. And it doesn't matter how absolutely bold and confident your words are. What's going to be believed is that you're not so secure in what you're saying. There are some things that you need to avoid. When you're speaking, get rid of everything in your hands. You don't need props to be able to speak your business. If you've got a pen, fine, hold your pen if you must. But for heaven's sake, don't start clicking it. Are any of you old enough to remember Ed Sullivan? When he used to have his hands crossed in front as he was announcing who was on his very big show. That is a sign that you have no idea what to do with your body and you are closed off and you're hoping that they're going to believe you in spite of how you're messing up. Your voice is probably one of the most powerful ways to attract or repel people to listen to all the wonderful things you have to say about what you do, what your company does, and what together you stand for. One of the biggest things that happens is that we forget to breathe properly. You've all seen babies breathe, right? They breathe with their whole and entire little bodies. Their bellies go up and down. They practically double in size. They breathe so well. Sleeping like a baby talks about that belly breathing. When we're relaxed and just laying about, we belly breathe. When we're asleep, we belly breathe. Our abdomen moves. When we become nervous, we subconsciously change it to chest breathe. And we start going, we don't know we're doing it. But all of a sudden, we feel ourselves not as clever as we once were because that kind of breathing is part and parcel of an adrenaline release. One causes the other. You start breathing like that and you start exuding adrenaline to get you into fight, flight, or freeze mode. If the adrenaline pops in first, you start breathing like that. If you breathe like that, along comes the adrenaline for the ride. Now, what happens when you do that is that your body doesn't have time to actively use the valuable air. It just goes in and out and in and out, and it's really not sending any oxygen anywhere in your body, particularly to your brain. See, any energy that you are getting is being moved into your muscles so that you can either fight or run away. Where does it leave you in your head? Stupid as a post, sometimes. In order to remain clever, aware, engaged, engaging, the first thing that you have to do is remember to breathe properly. You breathe so that your belly moves. And if you don't want your tummy hanging out over the top of your pants, breathe sideways so that your side ribs expand with the depth of air. When you get up to speak about your company, when you get up, whether it's at a networking meeting or in any other situation, before words fall out of your face, take one deep breath. It might feel like it's taking an intolerably long time. It's only a millisecond to anyone that's listening. Breathe, center, then talk. Then your brilliance and your firm beliefs come out easily and well. We work hard. We work very hard to create companies with purpose, to expertly fill a niche, and of course, making money is nice. We can't convince anyone about anything if we're talking through our nose, because no one wants to listen.
If we're talking down in chest voice because we think it makes us sound all kinds of important and all that,
it doesn't work. If we're speaking in kutsi-koo head voice, that's not going to be so great either. But you have to know how to switch from all those styles of talking back and forth so that you don't begin to sound like a recording on a bad record. We need to access the full array of your vocal mechanism in order to be able to persuade, inspire, convince, get money from, all manner of people. And we have to know how to use the voice to be able to do that. It is, after all, the vehicle of that so important 7%. We make our own work so much more difficult when we do not communicate our intention, our mission, and our values clearly with every single word we say. Choosing the words is hard. It's very hard, especially since those words have to change depending on who you're talking to, because there is no such thing as a set presentation, as a set elevator pitch, as a set networking spiel. Those must have the bare bones of everything you want to say, but the way you say it must change depending on how the listening ears need to receive it. When you're talking about your company, it doesn't have anything to do with you. When a speaker is up on the stage, it has nothing to do with the speaker. Here's the $50,000 secret. The only thing that matters is making sure the listening ears can receive, learn, understand, and work with the information that we're giving them. There's no point in speaking Spanish to an English-speaking audience. There is no point in speaking like a big old foghorn when you're talking to teenagers. They're singularly unimpressed by that sort of thing. It depends who you're talking to. And if you don't know the range that your voice can make, if you don't realize that you're perpetually standing on one leg, if you don't understand that having your feet shoulder width apart means under your shoulders, not splayed out in sumo wrestling style, if you don't know those things, you are doing your company brand and your whole company a huge disservice. It is, It is, I'm so sorry. It is essential. It is absolutely essential for every single person associated with your company. Everyone from the founder to the night watchman, they must understand and represent your company values and purposes, and they have to represent them eloquently, with charisma, and with clarity. My name is Rosemary Barnes. My company is Confident Stages. My mission is to lead businessmen and women to speak to engage and speak to succeed.